Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
So I bought Hostess cupcakes the next time, right? In a box. A box of Hostess cupcakes.
There's like eight in the box.
Good for me, right?
Yeah,
I did the right. I saw them and I was like, oh, she wanted these last time. I'll get them. Apparently, the Hostess cupcakes in the little two package taste way better than the ones in the box. That's made up, right? That's made up.
What?
Maybe she just doesn't like that you can't follow simple directions.
No, there
is a total different taste, and the ones in the box are unacceptable.
It's the same fucking thing!
I'm bad at grocery shopping, Travis. Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier, and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
The albino alligator!
Travis the albino alligator Hulse on the Skype line. The phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND. We do have one hell of a show for you this evening, guys. There's a lot going on. So much to talk about. We are back at strangelabel.com on our normal night and time. I apologize for being absent last week. We did do a makeup show on Wednesday, but I imagine, you know, the appointment of showing up here at this time, we probably ruined a lot of people's evenings.
I have to say that I missed the Chris Brake show in front of us.
You enjoyed that?
I really did. They really got me into a mood to do a radio program.
They got pretty hyped there at the end. It was super fucking hyped.
It was great.
I know. And then it was like, well, now I'm hyped.
That's right. It was infectious.
The hype is infectious. ChrisBrakeShow.com, everyone.
Listen to the Chris Brake Show every Wednesday night.
What's going on, guys? It seems like we just talked. I know we are expecting a guest in a little bit. Travis?
Yes, sir.
You sent me a story earlier.
It's a fresh local news story from my little town here.
You got a local story.
A local story, yes. Weird news, you could call it, I guess.
Woo.
Over the weekend, it was somebody called the police department and said a man was shooting at stoplights at about 12:30, in the evening.
It was stoplights?
Shooting at streetlights. Ah. I think he was just shooting at streetlights.
Right.
At a specific intersection. What police showed up, obviously, because somebody called saying somebody is shooting guns in my small town, but in town, not, you know, in a rural area, where people drive their cars and work and things like that. The police showed up, found this guy acting fairly suspicious, and also found that he was carrying a concealed and loaded handgun. The man did say he was shooting at the stoplights. He also told officers he was an alien protecting the universe from other aliens.
So he's an alien.
He's an alien.
And there was other aliens that were trying to attack.
And I assume that they were trying to attack through the streetlights, or maybe the only way that they could beam down to Earth was by the streetlights.
Huh.
I guess. You know, it's the classic story of the good alien who defects from the rest of the race to try to save humans.
Because he sees the good in us and he wants us to live on.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine he saw something on television that really changed his mind, or maybe he had a Big Mac and decided that it was delicious. I don't know what his reasoning was, but he does want to protect the human race.
Don't you feel that if an alien from another galaxy can come to Earth and find the good in us, we should be able to somehow look into ourselves and find the good in ourselves?
I assume this alien doesn't have a Twitter account, so therefore he hasn't seen the horrible, horrible state of our society.
You know what? I see the good in humanity every week when our good listener, good fan, good friend of the show, Jay Adson, every week, Jay Adson sends me a message on Facebook telling me to have a good show tonight.
Just Jay Adson's like a good man.
Just like a little break a leg fella out there, and he always participates in all our little things, and he's a good guy, right?
He tries to spread the word about our show to anybody who will listen.
He spreads the word about the show. He participated in the Flat Drunk Contest.
Oh, you know what? He won, I think.
He won the Flat Drunk Contest.
Because he was so good at it.
Right. He got flat drunk pictured with celebrities.
Guar, Andrew WK. He went out of his way to interrupt his time with these people who I believe are heroes of his to hand him a picture of drunk to say, would you please pose? We're in a picture with this little guy.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
And then he won.
He did won.
What'd he win? I apologize.
You apologize? What do you apologize for, Napier?
For not sending him his winnings.
No, that can't be right. This was months ago.
I know. It was April, wasn't it, Travis?
I believe it was like April.
It was like April when Jay Adson won that contest.
Yeah,
what month is it now?
It's
the other month that starts with an A. So those are like right together, right?
I must have lost his address that you gave me.
I believe we've cycled through an entire season, and he hasn't received his prize.
So, Travis, I guess me and you are just going to have to send Jay Adson something, right?
I suppose. I think Napier reaffirmed that he was going to send something 3 weeks ago, and then 2 weeks ago. And
well, I wish I had pulled the clip when he said, for sure, this week.
Well, Rob still hasn't given me his address. Who am I going to send
I've messaged to? Napier that address 3 times.
Bullshit.
I've seen it.
Bullshit.
I've seen it.
Bullshit.
Guys, all I'm saying, and you know what, at the same time, Travis, you know that I think that I made a advertisement for because drunk is coming back. Did you hear my advertisement that I made? I don't know when I'm gonna stick it in, so I'll just play it now. This is the advertisement I made.
Of drunk is coming. Tune in to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program in September for the return.
See, now I think, and what you said earlier is exactly true, Travis. It would be even funnier to play that for a month leading up to it and then him not come back.
Oh no, drunk is late to something.
But yeah, the return of drunk is coming. And Travis, you suggested that perhaps to mark the return of drunk, we should start having contests or something again.
Yeah, I know. We were just kind of spitballing something. I thought maybe it'd be kind of a fun idea to have listeners participate in some of our best drunk bits where they could write like a Romance is Dead or, write him a song, maybe a new Pitbull style song for him to do. You know, just something fun to mark his return.
Something drunky.
Yeah, something very drunky, and if the best one wins, and then we have him perform that for your listening pleasure.
You know, you wrote A Romance is Dead a while back.
I did.
And you had a neighbor character that was supposed to interact with Drunk, and Drunk recorded his lines before he left. We have Drunk's line for the Romance is Dead episode, but the person that I asked to play the other part, he said no. So
just flat out said no, huh?
He said no. So I got to figure out who I'm going to ask to do it. Some people like just want to like complain about like not being included in things, and but then when you try to, then they don't. want to do it. They want to just, they want to complain. They don't want to be included. They want to complain about not being included.
I feel like that's pretty typical.
Speaking of which, we're talking about listeners and all this guy. One of the guys who won the flat drunk box.
Yeah.
Like a couple of months ago, he was a good listener and he was interacting with us a bunch and tweeting us stuff about the show. And we were like, oh, this guy's cool. You know, he's enjoying the show and he's sending us stuff and, you know, he's like commenting on things and stuff. He sent us a Twitter message. It said something like, you know, hey, I'm going to come be on the show, you know, once I get a microphone. And we're like, okay, cool, man. And then like, a week later, he blocked us. He didn't even like unfollow us. He like blocked us on Twitter. It was like, I guess he doesn't listen. Did we say something to make him mad? I don't know what happened. We didn't mention him specifically.
It wasn't an accident because I also got unfollowed by the same cat.
Why does this guy, why is he mad at us? What did we do? I wish that there was like an exit survey when, Just tell us what we did. I'm just curious. I don't, if the guy doesn't want to listen anymore, you know, no big deal, but I'm curious, like what it was. Was it Travis? It was probably Travis, right?
I'm betting it was when, Drunk left. He's like, well, there's no point to this show anymore.
You think we lost like the drunk fan base?
How could you let him get away blocked?
I mean, it wasn't my fault. Guys, I mean, we're still trying. Give us the benefit of the doubt. I know that Drunk is an integral part of the program, but what are you going to do?
Well, obviously not listen.
So this fella that's shooting out the streetlights, yeah. He's on drugs or something, right?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I mean, it's really easy to dismiss this person as just an insane guy that's wandering around shooting shit with a handgun in public. You know, like people tend to do, apparently, if they're mentally insane. But what if we're dismissing him as insane, and he really is trying to protect us from this incoming alien horde, and we're just, find another crazy guy.
That's an interesting theory. You know, you see, and eventually people, like, get behind it. Like, when the alien just keeps saying it, eventually somebody believes him. It's like there's a gal on Facebook, and I messaged her and asked her if she wanted to come on the show because she was communicating with the dead lion.
Oh, and, with Cecil?
Yeah, you know, Cecil the lion.
You know, his brother's also dead now.
No, you know, that was a goof, apparently. That didn't really happen. You're talking
I
about
think it's all a goof.
Jericho. Jericho the lion is alive. And is not his brother, I believe. It was all bullshit. It's just somebody made it up. You know, oh, there's this lion named Jericho, and somebody shot him too. And there was like this whole thing about like how, you know, the orphaned children of Cecil, Jericho was taking care of the kids. They all moved into his house.
Because that's what lions do.
He started a GoFundMe. To help pay for all the zebras.
As you may all know, I've recently lost my brother. But the saddest part is that my nieces and nephews also lost their father.
But yeah, no, that's all bullshit, Travis. But, you know, later on, we do have a special tribute. That's something that we can look forward to. We have a special tribute to this whole lion business. So we have that to look forward to also. We might have a guest in about 10 minutes. I'm not really sure. I mean, think about like Jesus. Like, how difficult would it be for Jesus to prove he was Jesus? Like, if he came back, I mean, it would have to be like this big thing where like he opened the sky and like walked down from a big staircase or something, right?
More importantly, how long before people just didn't give a shit that Jesus came back?
It would be a big hashtag for like a week, like Jesus is back. And then
people stopped caring after the 48-hour window.
David here. I believe I'm supposed to be talking with you in a few minutes.
David!
Hello there.
How's it going?
I'm fine, man.
Thanks for staying up. Yeah. On the line, we have David Knopfler, founding member of the band Dire Straits. Now, David, in 1977 through 80, you were Sultans of Swing hit big. And Dire Straits just kind of went nonstop. And then during the recording of album 3, you left to do your own thing.
That sounds right, yeah.
So in the 35 years and 12 solo albums since, have you ever started an interview not justifying that decision?
It rarely comes up, really.
it really?
Really.
So you left the band, you started your own thing. You're probably, would you say you're best known for being part of that band?
No, but, you know, I understand why to people that aren't familiar with my work, that's how it would seem. I mean, in circles that I mix in, you know, where people who come to my concerts and have been for the last 30 years, it doesn't come up, you know.
Yeah.
To someone that's interviewing me who doesn't know my work or is not familiar with me and my work, obviously it comes up. It's kind of, I mean, it's, you know. I'm sure that Neil Armstrong had a very illustrious career after he walked on the moon. You know, spent most of his time explaining how he went to the bathroom.
You're crowdfunding the new album. It's on.
I am, yeah. That's
it's
right.
On Indiegogo.
Correct.
What made you decide to do that?
Oh, man. Well, I've been talking about it for about a decade, you know. Just we talked and we talked and I talked. And every time I had lunch with a friend of mine who was a business guy, I kept saying, yeah, I'm going to try this crowdfunding business. It seems really interesting. And I've been advised to do it by a young girl who's now middle-aged, you know. And just the years went by, and I just didn't get round to it. And finally, this year, I thought, this has to be the time I do it. And I left it till the 13th hour, but we're up and running with it now.
And is it going well? Are you getting a positive response?
It's fun, yeah. It's interesting. I've never done anything quite like it before. It's a very – it really engages you with people in a way that you – yeah, I didn't really think it would. You know, you get very hands-on with it all.
And are you seeing people that you didn't know were out there coming from, like, weird places?
Yeah, absolutely extraordinary generosity from strangers and really interesting mix of reasons and motives and people. And it's fun. I mean, it's really interesting.
We had a guy on a couple of weeks ago who was also doing crowdfunding. He's in a band, and we were having a conversation about how we've entered like this digital age and the physical medium like CDs and records and stuff don't really matter anymore.
Not as much as they used to. I mean, I play to an older audience as a rule. I mean, not everywhere and not always, but I have a very solid following, particularly in Germany, for example, where my audience are my age. And we're still, you know, ooh, we've got that newfangled 7-inch thing, you know. What is it? What's that called? You know, then a lot of those people come up with vinyl albums to be signed. So it's not quite as I was a very early adopter of the internet in 1995. You know, I had my own website. I had to write my own scripts to sell CDs, and it was terribly frowned on because the academic circles that were around then didn't think the internet was about making money. There I was trying to sell my CDs online, and I thought, this is great. It's going to be extra income. Of course, I had no idea it was going to actually turn into the Titanic in a couple of years later and sink the entire industry.
Now, you said that you're big in Germany.
I have a career there, yeah.
Do you tour a lot in Germany?
Sure, yeah.
Did you tour a lot in Germany because there was demand for you there? Or
yeah, well, I did a lot of TV promotion in the 80s. We know when television was the big thing in the 80s.
back in, you know, the TV days.
Yeah, back in the
1980s. Not now, where, you know, nobody has one.
Correct. Well, nobody watches it if they haven't. Everybody has one, but it's a bit like an iron. You know you're supposed to iron your shirts, but do you? Who has the time?
Yeah, right. You just kind of you brush it off a little bit, and you're good.
There you go. Hang it up, brush it off, and hope no one notices. So and if they do, it's their problem.
Did you? So you discovered that you had this following in Germany?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It evolved. I mean, one thing leads to another. You tend to be successful where you work. I mean, if that's where you do your work, you tend to be more successful. I mean, one thing follows from another. If you tour, you build a profile. If you don't, especially nowadays, if you don't tour nowadays, I mean, forget it.
Is Travis dead?
No, did the line go down?
I don't know. Everything died.
Oh, dear. You don't want that live on air, do you?
Right. No, not at all. So...
Live radio with Skype. I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
No kidding. So,
at a continent. I mean, 2,000 miles apart as well.
Yeah, you and you're up pretty late for.
I'm up extremely late, just for you, matey.
Right, and we were gonna pre-record yesterday, but you sent me.
I screwed up. Yeah, I had a senior moment.
You sent me a dog story.
It's true. It's absolutely true. My wretched dog decided to roll around in some incredibly stinky stuff, and by the time I'd finished cleaning her up and then cleaning myself up from the mess it caused me, somehow the moment that I was supposed to call you had all gone, and maybe I missed the alarms, and I don't know what happened. But, you know, it was a Sunday. You're not kind of geared up.
Knopfler.com, KNOPFLER.com.
Knopfler.com. We'll find out how many listeners you've got as to how many funders I get.
Yeah. You're going to get the WFOD bump. Look for it. It's coming. And @DavidKnopfler on Twitter. David, I'm going to let you get to
I'm
bed.
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Knopfler.com. You can find me everywhere. I'm all over the internet.
I appreciate you doing this.
It's a pleasure.
And have a good one.
You too, matey.
We're going to go to break. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
This is Strange Label.
A romantic tale as old as time.
Tell the story.
No, you tell the story.
Happy anniversary next week.
Yeah.
Fucker.
That's right. I'm the Beardy. Matt, sitting across from me, is the Beast. Melanie.
Shut the fuck up. It's not working. Just stop it.
These are the joys of doing a show with your spouse.
Yay! Oh, my badge to smell like gun barrel.
Oh, I would love for your vagina to smell like gun barrel. Oh my god, are you kidding?
Listen live every Monday night at 10:30, 9:30 Central. To Beardy and the Beast.
Twas long ago near Jericho, where Joshua lit the spark. A soldier from a holy wall lay dying in the dark. And he heard the final trumpet through the sacred culling ground. He heard a sound like thunder as walls came tumbling down. And he prayed to find redemption, prayed for inner peace. He prayed upon the innocents, searching for release. He traveled far behind the lines, cut the sacred wire, put his lips against the steel like a symbol of his iron.
Hello, welcome back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. Why are you making a frowny face, Napier? What's wrong?
Yelling at me. I'm going to be frowny.
What?
Going to be frowny.
Why are you frowny, buddy?
Bitching at me about not sending that shit out.
Well, I mean, guys.
You never gave me his address.
I did give you the address.
You didn't
but
give
that's
me
not the point. That's not even what we're talking about right now. And you know what? Travis is right. I was given Travis. Usually what happens is we start a conversation, I throw a couple things out there, and at some point, Travis saves me. But Travis didn't save me. And his point was, well, why didn't Napier save you?
Because
that's
you
a good point.
Me.
Maybe it was Napier's turn.
Because you always interrupt me.
That's what you're going with?
That's reality and life.
Guys, make sure to go to Knopfler.com, contribute to the Indiegogo campaign, check out the video. It's good stuff. Let's just drop it. Let's just move on. What do you think? Let's just move on. Travis is in a mood.
Oh, he said
we're going to have to discuss Travis's mood. I think he went and took a little pee-pee break. When he gets back, we're going to have to talk to him.
He took a Jack Daniels
I don't know what he's upset. He's having a bad day. Tell me about Racism the Game. You started telling me about it a little bit yesterday. I want to hear more.
It's called Europa.
Okay.
You pick... It's not... Everybody online was saying, it's about race. And kinda. You pick a faction.
That's a certain color.
Yeah, and they're different countries.
And you go kill all the people that are a different color.
Yeah. And then eventually you go from Europe, if you want to start in Europe. You go to the Americas and you kill all the Indians.
And do you keep their heads as trophies and stuff, or?
No, you keep all
do
their
land. Do you shout
land.
Racial slurs while you slaughter them?
I think it helps.
It does.
I don't think it's a part of the game, like the designers probably didn't really think it through.
Can people talk to each other on the game while they're playing? Like, can you hear other people yelling?
If you're in multiplayer, yeah, but that's more of like a...
Like, can they pick their race and fight you picking your race?
Yeah, if you want to.
So, like, they can be, like, blacks in Africa, and you can be whites from Europe, and you can have, like, your own little race war?
Yeah, you can go down to Africa and start colonizing.
So it's like when you play the games, and, like, the girls usually make a girl character, because they're girls.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that black guys would probably pick black people to play.
Oh, you'd be handicapped from the start. Just right from the beginning.
Because of their weapon selection?
Yeah, you get nothing. You start literally with nothing. You start in Europe. You've got, like, millions of people, and you have, like, gigantic armies and good weapons.
So you're at a severe advantage to be white.
Oh, yeah. They have, like, little... They have races you can pick. Well, not races. They have countries you can pick. Most of the countries you can pick...
Do you get to... I mean, like, if you're not sure of, like, what race they are, do you get to, like, see a picture of the guy before you select that country?
Sort of.
I mean, like, there's some that I'm kind of iffy on. Like, if you throw out, like, Yugoslavia. Is Yugoslavia white?
Yeah.
Okay.
I started off, I picked the Cherokee to start off with my first game. I did nothing for hundreds of years because I couldn't. Made no money.
Does time go really fast?
If you wanted to, yeah. You can select, like,
You can fast forward?
Yeah, and literally you're doing nothing but fighting other Indians for pennies.
Oh.
While these other countries have hordes and hordes of wealth, and they just come in and wreck your shit.
So there's no way that, like, let's say you're, like, an impoverished nation of black people.
Yeah.
Like, is there any way that you can, like, use your smarts and, like, overcome those obstacles, or are you just kind of...
Oh, yeah, you can, but it's, like, really, really hard. And if you pick, like, one of the recommended starter countries, I think, like, 80% of them are white European countries.
Yeah.
That's easy mode. You can go easy mode. You can pick France and then just wreck everybody's shit, take over Africa, wreck everybody's shit, go over to the Americas, wreck everybody's shit, and you're just racking up wrecked points and getting money.
So you actually get points for, like, eliminating a race of people.
Yeah, you get their territory.
Oh.
Their country becomes part of your country.
That sounds good. Travis?
Yes, sir.
Travis, let's talk about why you're so sad.
I'm not sad.
Travis, what's wrong, buddy?
Why do you always go to if somebody's not having a good time, that they're having, like, anger issues with
you? I just want to know why my friend Travis is sad, Napier.
He's not sad. Does he sound sad, Travis?
He sounds pretty sad.
I am perfectly fine.
Did you go?
Appreciate your concern.
Did you go poop?
Nope.
Your tum-tum hurt.
Yep, a little nauseous. Getting a little better.
Because you're drinking?
Uh-huh.
Do drinks solve your problems?
Not all of them.
But it helps?
Yeah.
I don't see how.
It helps you forget that you have problems.
Self-medicating is, you know, there's a fine line there. Because it always helps, but does it help in the long run? You know what I mean?
It doesn't make you forget your problems. It does make you not care about your problems.
That's pretty much it.
And sometimes that's a good thing. You know, if you're too stressed out about something, you know, a thing of Jack Daniels or a whole big pint of rum.
Yep. Or what kind of pills do you have?
Yeah, or pills. You can do pills.
Mm-hmm.
Pills help.
Yeah, and they said it's regulated. It's all good. All you have to do is go to the doctor and say, today I feel sad. And he's like, well, here's a prescription. Why don't you head down to Walgreens? We gotta pick something up to make you feel a little better. And then the next day you can go to the doctor and say, man, I'm feeling too anxious. And then he says, well, I have these pills. Why don't you head down to CVS and you can make it all better? You know what I mean?
My doctor won't do that anymore. She keeps prescribing me bullshit.
You want the good stuff?
I think it's time to find another doctor.
I went to my doctor and I said, hey, I'm having sleeping problems. She goes, okay, here's some sleeping pills. And I go pick it up. And I notice that it doesn't really help me sleep.
You jack off before you go to sleep. It knocks me right out.
It doesn't knock me out.
If I can't sleep, I just jack off and then I'm fine.
No.
See, the thing about it is I would try to game the system. You know, like I say, here's those sleeping pills to help you sleep. I would purposely try to stay awake just to see if there's any kind of weird shit that happens because of it.
Oh, yeah, it did. It gave me really fucked up nightmares.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
And then I found out those were not sleeping pills. Those were like anti-anxiety medication. And I don't have anxiety. I have not being able to sleep. And it's not because I have anxiety. It's because the little part of my brain that tells you to go to sleep don't work. So what I do is I take 3 over-the-counter sleeping pills and about 8 shots of, you know, whatever 40 proof I can get my hands on.
Like that probably works.
Oh, it works great. It's probably slowly murdering me.
Mm-hmm. I understand. If you go to the natural food store, stay with me. There's a thing called valerian root. They sell that in a liquid form. Mm-hmm. You squirt that into some sleepy time tea. You can get that, any celestial seasonings. They say squirt 1 tincture into a cup of tea. I usually do about 3 or 4. And then you double up on the sleepy time tea, and then you're pretty well good to go. It like shuts your body down. It's good.
I've tried the more natural remedies like the melatonin, and mm-hmm. that shit gives me fucking headaches.
Try the valerian. Like I said, it's a little tiny jar. It's really expensive. It's like $15 for like the smallest jar you've ever seen. And it's got a little dropper. Just squeeze entire dropper fulls into a nice beverage before bed. About a half hour before bed. It'll help.
You know what would really help? Some fucking Ambien. Oh, God. Ambien is delicious.
What the fuck? Are you guys even talking about
sleeping issues?
We're trying to sleep and also shut down the voices inside my head, Mike.
Ambien is so good. Have you had Ambien, Travis?
I have not had the pleasure.
Oh, it is wonderful. It's like an off switch.
Again, though, that's one of those things that I would pop that Ambien, and then I would, like, get on the treadmill to try to stay awake.
No, it ain't happening.
Why?
Just to see what kind of crazy shit happens.
Apparently the Ambien walrus will get you.
Do you have demons?
Probably.
You have demons that you're running from?
It would probably be smart for me to talk to somebody on a regular basis.
Travis! You know, you can run from your demons forever, but if you ever seen one of them Jason movies, your demons are just walking, and eventually you're going to get tired and trip or something, and
yes,
they're just going to catch you, Travis. They're just going to catch you.
But if I face my demons, it'll be just like that Jason video game where there's no possible fucking way you can win. He's just going to steal the children, kill your friends, confront you in a cabin, and throw machetes at you.
My issue is my little brain don't make melatonin too good and I can't go to sleep.
Mine is that my brain doesn't stop.
Yeah, mine doesn't either. It just keeps going, and I can't go to sleep. And it's never over anything specific.
Nope.
I could have a song stuck in my head, and now I can't go to sleep because I got that Party All the Time song from Eddie Murphy stuck in my head.
And guess what that song is going to lead you into? It's going to lead you into thinking about every movie that Eddie Murphy has ever made in his entire career, which is going to make you wonder about the downfall of his career and the choices that he's made. And then you'll remember that he got busted for sleeping with a transvestite in the back of his car, and it'll spiral down.
Was she a transvestite, or was she just not very attractive?
No, he had a tranny. Hugh Grant, I think, was just a prostitute.
Yeah, her name was like Sparkles or something.
Yeah.
I did like those 48-hour movies. Those were good.
You know, my brain goes all the time, too, but it's thinking of inventions. I like to think about inventions, you guys.
We know.
That's what you got to do. You got to think of positive things, like inventions, ways you can better the world, because that's what we're all here for, right, is to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. I should just get some college math books, because that used to put me to sleep real fucking quick.
You start doing some math?
No, I just would look at it and then become sad about my life and how I don't understand numbers.
Nope, before you know it, Napier's going to learn through osmosis and he's going to be like the new Matt Damon and good. He's going to show up to your local community college and just start solving these impossible equations on the chalkboard.
I used to try that. Instead of like paying attention in class, I'd just fall asleep on my book and hope that it would sink in. Didn't work, guys. But I got some sleep, and sleep's important.
It is important.
I can really just kind of sleep like anywhere. I could go to sleep at a table. I could go to sleep in the back of a car. I can go to sleep anytime I want. I just kind of close my eyes and then I just kind of go to sleep.
Don't get me wrong. I could sleep at any time of the day besides when a person needs to go to sleep to get up in the morning and go to work.
That's when the demons come.
No, it's when you start thinking about how... You think about how you need to get to bed. You need to get to bed. You need to get to bed. Oh, fuck, tomorrow's going to be shit. You need to get to bed. And then all of a sudden, it's 3:00 in the fucking morning. You're like, oh, fuck, if I go to bed now, it's going to be even worse than if I didn't go to bed. So you stay up and you stay up. And then the next day comes around and, oh, shit, funny cat videos on the internet. And then you're doing that instead of going to sleep. And then all of a sudden, bam, it's 11:00 again. Like, oh, fuck, I need to go to sleep.
That is true, because on the weekends when I want to stay up and watch movies and fuck around with my comic books and shit, I cannot stay awake.
Yeah, and you try to get that makeup sleep, and that makeup sleep doesn't work. You can't just make up sleep on the weekend for the rest of your damn week.
Do you think that the lady that talked to Cecil the Lion could help Travis?
Help him what? Poop?
I mean, like, get rid of some of his demons.
He doesn't need demons erased. He needs Zambian.
She can contact whatever it is that's bothering Travis and shoo it.
His pillow is what's aggravating him. And it's not making him go to sleep.
Shoo it. What if it's like a pet or something? Like one of the dogs that Travis killed.
Recently?
Like what if it's one of Travis's dogs?
What's
bothering him and keeping him from finding happiness?
I have much more deep-seated issues than the dogs that are no longer in my life.
Well, is it something that I can help you with, Travis?
Well, maybe not on air.
I'm pretty good at stuff like this.
Can you come up with an invention to help me?
I have one. I played golf for the first time the other day, guys.
How awesome was it?
Well, see, what happens is you hit the ball.
Yeah.
And then you gotta go find the ball. But like my eyes aren't too good. Well, you know, I wear glasses. I'm not great at seeing, you know. And so I lose the ball and then like how do I find it? Couldn't you put like a little chip in the ball and like you could find it with your phone? Like a GPS ball finder app.
Well, how do you keep the chip from getting broken?
It's in the middle of the ball.
Yeah, but, I mean, the impact...
I mean, there's like a core in the middle of the ball. You put it in the middle of the core, it'd be fine, right?
No, it's going to throw off the weight of the ball. You're not going to be able to get as good of a drive.
Didn't they make the hockey pucks that had the little tail on them guy thing that you could see on Fox? They can do it.
No,
guys, it'll be fine. They put a little GPS chip in the ball. That's my invention.
I was just watching a Shark Tank where they shot down anything to do with golf because they said it's a Christmas gift that'll never be used and nobody will buy it except the three people that don't golf.
No. People lose so many balls. You walk around a golf course and there's goddamn balls everywhere where people just got tired of looking for them and they went and found like somebody else's ball and just kept that one or they just lost a ball. I brought 12 balls. And I came back with 5 balls, but three of the balls that I came back with weren't part of the balls that I took. So I found 3 other people's balls and I left. Now, granted, some of those balls went in the lake. I hit several in the lake. Those aren't coming back. So we're going to have to find an inexpensive method to make these chip balls because you got to figure some of them are going in the lake.
You're killing small business though, because there's a lot of people who just like scour golf courses before and after they are open for these balls that people left behind, and they throw them in egg cartons and they sell them like used golf balls, you know, like $2-3 per dozen.
Yeah, but think about all of the people who will be happy to take 12 balls.
What do you mean? You mean the 1%?
With 11
the 1%ers?
Balls.
That don't need that extra money, that golf ball? They don't give a shit about that.
No, it's protecting your investment. You buy some balls.
How much was your investment?
Of golf balls?
Yeah.
My mom got me 2 egg cartons full of golf balls for $1 a piece.
That wouldn't have been possible if your invention existed.
I'm not a good golfer, Travis. I'm a beginner, so I'm probably going to buy the cheap balls and practice for a while. The golfer who is confident in his game and hits the ball far, he gets the app. He can follow the ball with his phone and it'll beep. It'll have like the Siri voice be like 5 feet until your ball, 4 feet until your ball.
Let me tell you something about those guys who are serious about their golf game. Those guys are assholes, and you don't want to do anything to help them out.
Nope. They're golfers.
I don't want to help them out. I want to invent this thing, and I want them to pay me lots of money for it.
But they won't buy a second ball because they've never lost one.
And then they'll tell all their golf friends.
You'll never have to buy another ball in your life.
Word of mouth will tell them, hey, these balls are good. You should tell all the other golfers to go get these balls.
Hey, this guy created a non-sustainable business because you never have to go back and buy another thing.
I mean, once you strike a ball a certain amount of times, doesn't it start to like break down, I would imagine? I imagine they're not good forever. Most people lose them before they go bad.
How much are you going to retail this one golf ball at?
I mean, like how many come in a box? I imagine you don't buy one golf ball.
Typically, I think like 4 to 6, maybe.
Like what's like the price of 4 to 6 golf balls?
I guess it would depend on what it says.
You want to say it's like $10? I don't know how much golf balls are, Travis. I have no idea.
Because you're smart and you buy your mom does, buys them by the dozen for 75 cents.
Think about how jazzed you'd be if you go out and get your golf balls. Like that you find on the range, and you find one of the GPS ones.
Obviously, it doesn't work. Holy shit,
this guy obviously didn't give a fuck. He thought he hit it too far, and he didn't even want to walk and go get it. So he just left this ball out here. And then, like, you could, like, in the secondary market, sell that ball for even more.
Unless it's tied to a telephone, and then, you know, you just stole somebody's golf ball.
Do you think that if, like, you hit the ball and like the Jeep, you hit it so hard that like the GPS stopped working, the lady that talked to the dead lion could like communicate with the golf ball and like tell you where it is?
I guarantee you that she could.
You think that she would? You think that she would like call to the ball?
If she can talk to a dead lion that people just realized existed a week and a half ago, she can talk to this made up golf ball.
Napier, imagine for a second you're communicating with a dead lion.
Okay.
What does that lion say to you?
War, 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 war. It doesn't know English.
I had no realization of my own mortality, so it's not weird to me that I'm dead.
Nor is it weird that a lion from Zimbabwe can speak English. To be honest with you, the lady doesn't think too much ahead of time. I mean, it's like the Star Trek shows where every alien speaks English. Like,
well, they have translators built in.
Yes, they have. They science their way out of.
Oh, so they have like a translator, so they can listen to what the lion roars and interpret what it's saying by
Maybe
that.
Maybe that's a good
it's
question not, for this lady.
It's not like when the lion goes to heaven, it begins speaking English. Or does it?
It's still speaking lion, but she has a translator.
Can she talk to living lions, or can she only talk to the lion once it's dead?
Did she say she wouldn't be on the show? Because now I really want to talk to her and ask her all of these questions.
She told us to contact her at an email address, so we'll have to look into that. But yeah, I'm very curious of how talking to a dead lion works. How do you do that?
Also, can she talk to my childhood dog that doesn't exist anymore?
I bet it involves a lot of Ambien and alcohol.
I bet she has some demons. You think like when she goes to bed at night, like the voices of all of the animals that she's contacted and like her own conscience eat away at her?
No way. I'm sure they just are very respectful of her time, and lions just stop talking to her.
Psst. Hey. Oh, you're sleeping? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll talk to you in the morning.
All right. Skype me. Napier, we had a conversation yesterday.
Yes.
You brought a Diet Coke with you.
Yes.
And you had a unique theory about Diet Coke.
Yes. The theory is, you know, those sodas you see in the stores and you buy them by the case and they got these little fucking names on them.
Yeah. When I go to the grocery store, I look for my name and my lady's name. Is that gay?
No.
I do. I look for them to keep as collector's items. It's like, you know, hey, we can put these next to each other on a shelf. Wouldn't that be fucking cute?
Look,
if I had
kissing.
A Mike and Laura Coke?
It'd be cute as hell.
But you have a darker vision.
Depends on what you mean by darker. The vision is, and I really hope that this is true, because I would love to become a warlock.
You hope that it's not true.
No, I do hope it's true, because I noticed certain names taste better.
You have noticed that?
Yeah.
Which names taste better?
Frank normally tastes pretty good.
So you look for Franks?
I don't look for them, but when I get them, you know, that's a bonus. It's a bonus for me. Now, all of these Cokes that have people's names on them, those are made out of the souls of somebody with that name. Like, you see a Coke that's named Shirley. Shirley died to make that Coke. Not necessarily died, but, you know, the Coke company absorbed her soul and stuck it into the soda. What do you think of that, Travis?
Well, I would think that in order for this theory to be true, that it wouldn't be the Coke company that had absorbed the soul. I think that the deceased would have to gravitate towards the label that they're placing on these bottles, and then, you know, being injected into the bottle that way. Like, but like, they want to be in that Coca-Cola that you're going to ingest and be part of you forever.
Well, I mean, Coca-Cola is one of the biggest name brands in the world. I think they could make something like that happen. I mean, they're in every country. Every country you can get a Coke, and it'll taste more or less like the same Coke from anywhere else.
But there is, in foreign countries, do they have Cokes with all the weird foreign names on them?
Yes, and yeah. It is not true that the Cokes taste the same in every country. If you traveled across the pond, they do use different processes, so the drinks do taste different than they do here.
Travis?
That's why Heineken's...
Travis?
Yes, sir?
Do the Cokes in Mexico taste kind of spicy?
No, they use purely real cane sugar, so it's going to taste completely
different. Travis?
Go ahead. Do
the Cokes in Canada kind of have like a little maple syrupy flavor to them?
One more? You got another one? Come on, what do you got for Asia?
Travis.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones in Asia, they kind of taste like
fish.
Yeah, a little bit of soy.
A little soy sauce. Oh, a little salty. Oh,
kind of salty.
That's a reach.
A little bit salty. Because it's got the soy sauce in it. So you think that there's souls of dead people in your Coca-Colas?
Yes, and I am absorbing all of them.
It's like some kind of voodoo shit.
Yeah.
Is that like you're absorbing their life power, like you're a Highlander and you're taking the head of another Highlander?
Yeah, every time I drink one, I get a little lightning bolt.
So, in a way, if you find one, like, with your actual name on it and you drink it, then think of how powerful you become, because you've absorbed another...
No, it cancels all of that out.
Oh, it does?
You're drinking another mic. You're killing your own vibe.
If you drink one with your own name on it, maybe that's how they get it.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. That's how they're doing it.
It's because it's got the mic soul in it, and so if you double down on the mic soul,
that doesn't make extra mic soul. That kills the mic soul.
Huh. I have a theory about the Coca-Cola bottle too.
What's that, Travis?
They print out a bunch of labels.
Yeah.
They fill a bunch of bottles with Coca-Cola. They run it through a label machine that places labels on the bottles, and it's all random.
Well, so are the souls. I mean...
See, now, like, we're having fun. I mean, obviously Napier doesn't believe that, Travis.
I hope. He does?
Napier was having a little
goof.
No way!
I know Napier.
He was having a little goof, and Napier, you shit on it, Travis, Napier, because you're having a bad day, and you want us to be having a bad day too.
Nobody.
That's never true. I have, even if I was having a bad day, I never shat on one of your inventions.
Speaking of people who had a bad day, did you hear about what's going on with Conan O'Brien?
Nope.
Travis has the scoop.
Hello, everybody. Travis Hulse here with WFOD Insider News. Conan O'Brien is having a bad day. He is being sued by an amateur comedian and television writer for stealing a joke and using it in one of his monologues.
Off Twitter.
Off of Twitter. He had posted a joke about some airlines and how one of the flights only had one person from Cincinnati and one person from New York City on it, and they argued over the armrest for the entire flight. Conan O'Brien used that in his monologue, and now he's being sued for stealing this amateur writer's joke.
It's one of those jokes that I feel like multiple people probably could have came up with that.
You can search any hashtag at any given moment and find 17 people that made the exact same joke.
Especially when you do those, like, at midnight things where, like, mm-hmm. you change one word and ruin it, and it's like a pun or something.
Scary cereals.
20 yeah. people come up with the same stupid one. I mean, there's only so many movies and only so many things that you can say about them.
I didn't think you could actually copyright a joke.
I'd say it can be frowned upon. You can say, I bet. You know what? There's times that we've done things on our show that a week later, like Saturday Night Live has done something similar, or like it's been on like Weekend Update. And then I'm sitting here, I'm going, those fucking Saturday Night Live guys stole our joke. And it was like, no, they probably didn't. It's probably an easy joke to make.
That's why Saturday Night Live made it.
Your 400 followers didn't steal that joke and give it to Conan O'Brien.
Those Saturday Night Live guys must be listening to the show. They stole my Bill Cosby bit. But it's probably not likely.
That's the funny thing. Like, people have made entire careers out of it. Dan Cook is a very successful comedian, and it's been blatantly pointed out that he has stolen plenty of jokes. The only person I think it actually ruined was Carlos Mencia, because he was a real dick about it. But Dan Cook is thriving on starting a career by stealing jokes from people. Obviously, he deviated from that, but, he's probably successful.
You probably get to a point where you can just hire joke writers, and then you don't have to come up with anything on your own. People probably just write Dane Cook's... I don't know that to be true, but... I mean, he could afford to pay a couple of schlubs to write some jokes for him, I imagine.
I would almost be certain that he does, and more power to him.
Conan O'Brien is the same. I don't think Conan O'Brien writes his monologue every night.
No,
he has
of course
a team
not.
of writers.
A team of writers. The Pete Holmes Show, which I liked a lot, and I get a lot of shit about because I really am a big fan of Pete Holmes. He writes all his own material, but when he had his show, obviously he had a team of writers writing a monologue because they did it four nights a week.
I've heard from multiple sources that, people think that people think that Daniel Tosh pretty much just, all of his jokes are from Reddit comments on his, Tosh.0 program.
Well, and that's what the funny thing is about this Twitter shit, and that somebody's stealing jokes. Like, these TV writers, there's no possible way they're, like, following this random comedian that is suing Conan O'Brien. You know, and if they are, they probably scrolled through their Twitter timeline and saw plenty of things throughout the day that influenced what they decided to write in that writer's room. And that's the age that we live in. I'm sure I'm influenced all day long by things when I cycle through Facebook or cycle through Twitter that I'm probably regurgitating in my everyday life.
Guys.
Hmm?
I hope that we've learned something from all of this.
I learned that I need to apologize to Napier for shitting on his Coke theory.
You don't have to, sir. You just have to drink more Coca-Cola solos.
I will never do it. Do you think that
the lady that can talk to the dead lion can read Conan O'Brien's mind and see if he stole the joke?
Probably just as well as she can talk to lions.
Do you think that she can, like, do some kind of, like, voodoo thing to like, see into his aura?
I think they'd have to she'd have to, like, read into the entire writer's room to see whether or not any of them may have possibly saw something on Twitter that they incorporated into the monologue that they wrote as a team.
So, like, she can just kind of go in there and get a feel for it.
If she can probably talk, like, to a dead see lion.
If, like, people, like, look to the left or, like, twitch their mouth funny or something, and she can say, I bet this guy is the joke thief, this guy here, not Conan O'Brien. Right?
No, she probably can't do that.
I mean, it's a theory.
That's a really shitty theory.
Well, you guys are just no fun tonight. You're not fun at all.
Hey, don't pass judgment on us.
I'm passing judgment. You guys
are
not being fun at all. You're being shitheads. Travis muted his microphone during the David Knopfler interview.
I felt really bad about that.
He muted his microphone, Napier.
I wanted to interject about three-quarters of the way through the 5 minutes you had him on air and say something, but I'm like, well, this might be too shocking for this man who hasn't heard my voice through the whole thing.
You were afraid to startle him?
I didn't want to startle the man.
I think
that's obviously a valid thing to say.
Of course it is.
What's going to happen if this guy hears a voice of someone else on this talk show? We were doing so well.
No, we weren't.
No, not tonight. I'm saying in general.
He was a nice man. He didn't care.
Yeah,
I do feel bad that we kept him awake until 2:30 in the morning to do an 8-minute interview.
Yeah. Well,
He did say thank you via Skype.
You know what happens? You know what happens, Napier? I get the conversation going. We prime him up. He gets a feel for how the interview is going to go. And then Travis swoops in and saves me.
Well, he was actually answering stuff, but I think you interrupted him a couple times.
What are you trying to say?
You interrupt people.
Do you think that the lady who talks to the dead lion can get a feel for if David Knopfler likes me or not?
I don't think he has an opinion of you.
Do you think that, like, she could read his mind and, like, just kind of get back to me on whether or not David Knopfler from Dire Straits, formerly of Dire Straits, wants to be my friend?
Yes, she can.
I think maybe he doesn't want to be your friend, because right away he was like, people who are not familiar with my work always bring up Dire Straits.
He was in Dire Straits. I was familiar with that. And I listened to some of his music on Spotify, and I found it lovely, and I wanted to speak to the man.
You did! You did speak to him.
I did. And then you muted your microphone.
That's because you were supposed to speak to him.
I didn't say that I had an affinity for speaking with him.
You know what happens, Napier? I feel confident that, like, I can fly because I have my co-pilot. And I don't have all the necessary skills to fly, but I have my co-pilot with me. And between the two of us, there's no way anything can go wrong. And then my co-pilot grabs the parachute and jumps from the airplane.
Well, no, you're
and I'm left in an airplane with you, staring at me with those dead cow eyes.
I thought it would be great to let Napier shine for once, and I wanted to give him that opportunity.
You know what you should have done? You should have said, "Hey guys, I'm gonna sit out this one and let Napier shine," just so that we know what to expect. You see, that's what it's all about, expectations. You see, I was expecting that fella who won the flat drunk box and who was tweeting us about, like, how much he liked the show and that, you know, and, like, sending us good points about what we said and stuff. I was expecting him to listen forever. And if that changes, I just want to know why. Do you think that the lady who talks to the dead lion can get on Twitter and find out why the Irish on Fire doesn't want to follow us on Twitter anymore?
I would almost certainly think that she could figure that out for us.
We should book her, guys. We should get the lady who talks to the lion and just see, like, what other things she can do. Like, she had, like, this whole eloquent speech of what the lion said. I'm gonna find it. The lion, like, had this whole thing about forgiveness and stuff. It was fucking deep, guys. And, like, it touched me, like, Travis.
Yes, sir.
Throughout the show tonight,
mm-hmm.
Napier has been rubbing his beard on the microphone and doing little drumming noises with his finger on the table and stuff, and he's driving me insane, Travis.
I do it because it makes him twitch.
The Dunstan Bruce interview a couple of weeks ago.
I like Dunstan very much.
Napier was rubbing his beard on the windscreen, and you can hear it. You can hear the goddamn beard rubbing on the windscreen, and there's no reason to do that whatsoever. It makes no sense to do.
It feels nice on my chin.
You know what he could have been doing instead?
He could have been helping with the goddamn beard. Interview!
Ask a goddamn question once in a while, would ya?
Do you want to hear?
You guys don't let me get a word in edgewise. I got to interrupt you.
We're just a couple of chatterboxes.
Stepping all over it. Listen back to the interview tonight and listen to the dead fucking space that you could have interjected in.
Says the guy who muted his microphone. Says the guy who muted his fucking microphone.
I wanted to hear all the dead space that Napier couldn't interject.
I must have a 6-foot dick because you people keep tripping over it.
I don't want this to end on a negative note. I want this to end in positivity. I'm going to share with you now what Cecil the Lion has said from beyond the grave. Let not the actions of these few men defeat us or allow darkness to enter our hearts. If we do, then we become one of them. Raise your vibration and allow this energy. And I lost my place. This energy to move us forward. What happened does not need to be discussed, as it is what it is. Take heart, my child. I am finer than ever. Grander than before, as no one can take our purity, our truth, or our soul. Ever I am here. Be strong and speak for all the others who suffer needlessly to satisfy human greed. Bring light and love, and we will rise above this.
Fucking lion doesn't know those concepts. Worldwide outrage
tonight over the death of Cecil the Lion, killed at the hands of an American dentist.
It was a dentist from Minnesota who paid $50,000 to shoot the lion. According to the news, he hired a company. He flew to Zimbabwe. Two locals took him to the national park. They tied a dead animal to the back of a Jeep to lure the lion out of the park because it's illegal to shoot them in the park. They call it baiting.
From the day we arrive on the planet and blinking into the sun, there's more to be seen than can ever be seen. More to do than can ever be done. Some say eat or be eaten.
Ended positive.
Some say live.
This doesn't seem positive.
And let live.
What are you talking about? I can't
think. All are agreed as they join the stampede. You should never take more than you give in the circle of life. It's the wheel of fortune.
I'm sorry, I can't stand that.
It's the leap of faith.
The death of an animal.
It's the band of gold.
But it's the psychology of these people that I don't understand. Why do you
Till
want...
we find
what
our
is the
place?
Fun in seeing this beautiful animal alive and then causing its
on
death?
The
That's
path
what I don't
unwinding.
It's the psychology of the people. And it's the same. It is. And
you're
in this
out
case,
here
in the circle,
land.
It's not just the cause.
Raise a lighter to the
it,
sky!
It's really cool for me that
the circle of life.
Why is bullfighting
fun? Why is torturing an animal the fun bit? It's not fun.
Some
to
of
do.
Us
it's
fall.
Not fun to watch.
By the wayside,
some
of us
being an animal in fear into or the stars, or just its life snuffed out for no good
and
reason.
And some of us sail
that's what's always
through our troubles, and some have to live with the scars. There's far too much to take in here.
Around the world, outrage over Cecil.
More to find.
Online
can ever be found.
Twitter and the dentist's website.
But the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky keeps great and small on the endless round in the circle of life.
Mike, how many cows do you think are named Cecil that gets shot every fucking day?
Lions have died over the last decade and a half. 24
It's the leap of faith.
Choosing Bobbin to help bag Cecil will be charged with poaching. Authorities say
it's the band of hope.
Used as evidence. His head still has been found.
Till we find our face.
This disgusting tragedy. So this is the website for the Wildlife Conservation Research.
On the path unwinding.
Wildcru.org. These are the researchers who put the collar on Cecil in the first place. They
in the circle.
And studied him. If you want to do something, if you want to make this into a
the circle of life.
Sorry. I'm good.
That inspired me.
Do you feel good, Travis? You feel good about that?
Feel really good. Really good.
Guys, thank you for being in chat tonight. The few who were. Thank you to David Knopfler. Be sure to check him out. Knopfler.com.
Jesus Christ.
Ugh.
I think there was a Steve that came out of you.
My God. Knopfler.com, at David Knopfler on Twitter. You can find him on Facebook as well. We were very happy to have him on the show tonight.
Travis wasn't happy at all to have him on. I was the only one excited about it.
I was very happy to have him on, and I just didn't want to participate, goddammit.
I didn't know what to do. I'm sorry.
You never know what the fuck to do. Kidding me?
I'm sorry you guys never let me practice.
Guys, we'll be back next week. Speak for yourself, Mike. Are you you quitting the show?
I got to work a different shift.
Oh. Can you wait till September?
Nope.
Oh. Okay.
Play that fucking song again.
You need it again?
Yeah, I don't know. Send it to me. I'll
over the death of Cecil the Lion, killed at the hands of an American dentist.
I'm not playing it again, Travis. You're just going to have to find comfort from me. Do you think that we could get the lady who talks to the dead lion to help Travis?
I think we should get her because I want to rip her apart and tell her how terrible of a person she is for capitalizing on this goddamn hashtag activism.
That probably won't make you feel better. You think it will, Travis, but it won't.
I am Batman. Vengeance. Only vengeance. I blame the fact that Dan's not on before us, I think.
Dan makes you happy?
Well, Chris break last week and I was super happy.
Oh.
I've always been happy before when Dan's been on, right? Beforehand? Oh. I don't know. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I miss Dan, too. I'm going to go home and drink a Dan for Dan. That way Dan will be inside of me. Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.
He was a part of that band for like 3 years, and they sold like a ton of albums. And I mean, like, they were just getting bigger. And like he like wasn't getting the satisfaction from it, because like, you know, he was really just kind of like playing, you know, rhythm guitar, and his brother was like writing all the songs and stuff, and like he was trying to contribute songs, and his brother would pretty much tell him to go fuck himself, and he quit like to do his own thing, like because like he wanted like to like create himself. He didn't want to like, does that make sense?
I find that to be really funny with a lot of bands like that, especially when there's sibling members. You see a lot of infighting. I mean, obviously one of the major ones is like Oasis.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously got really huge for a while, and there was a couple of egos involved there too.
Right.
But I mean, they went their separate ways once or twice in the middle of it, and then they just kind of completely split. And it was that same kind of thing too. It's like, well, you think you're going to run it. You know, I know I'm gonna run it. No, I want to be my own thing, and you want to be. And the Black Crowes were the same way. Like, there was a lot of infighting between Chris Robinson and, you know, and his brother, because
you have to wonder, like, how many people would, like, just keep cashing those checks. I mean,
so many of them. I would imagine that the good majority of bands that
Dire Straits has sold, like, hundreds of millions of albums. I mean,
well,
like,
it's not just the albums. I mean, just think about the licensing for all those songs, too. I mean, like, everybody.
How much money did he say no to, like, to. Because he wanted to create for himself. He wanted to fucking make something. I mean, I think that's like, I don't know. It's admirable, but at the same time, like, you know, if I was in the same position, I think I'd be a coward and just keep cashing the checks.
You kind of wonder, though, what, like, how much of that, like, when you walk away from a band like that, if you can set up a deal where it's like, I'm going to walk away because we're not getting along and it's not going the way that I want to, and you'll be able to have full control of it without anybody interfering with your vision for this thing, but I get a cut off the back end every time an album sells. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or if it is just that whole thing where it's like, well, I'm not going to sell myself out, and I'm just going to roll with what I want to do. Because if you're part of that, even if you decide to walk away from it, you're still part of it. On your Wikipedia page, it's still going to say, oh, this guy that you were looking up, yeah, he was involved with this thing that you know for certain. So right. It almost lends a little bit of credibility to whatever you're trying to do on your own.
Just because you were a part of something else?
Right, and, you know, and obviously you have to prove yourself when you walk away from it and say, you know, this is who I am separately from this thing that you know me from. But, I mean, most of the people that I've found, you know, through interviews or just through chats or whatever that I've heard is that, you know, for you and I, like, obviously we, you know, money, man, we need some money. But the people who never have to worry about money ever again in their entire life,
yeah,
say, yeah, that's what I was chasing the whole time, and now that I have it, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't make me happier. I'm still trying to chase something. So, you know, maybe these guys who walk away from these guaranteed paydays, maybe they have it right, way ahead of the curve. Maybe they're right before it becomes what it is. They're like, you know, this is not what I want. This is not my vision. This is not where I see my life going. I'm walking away from it, even though I know that I could be walking away from a pretty big payday.
So you think that just because we're not in a position, like, we look at that and say, God, that's too much money to walk away from, just because we can't fathom actually having it?
I think so, because I think, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you say, oh my, I would never have to do another thing. I mean, you just play the same songs, and, you just capitalize on the fame of the name, and holy shit, but maybe you lose a little bit of yourself when you do that, and is it worth it to not be fulfilled in day-to-day life just because you can have somebody bring you whatever you want at any given time? I mean, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say, but I think that it seems like the most fulfilled people in general are the ones who continuously every day do what they want to do and are able to make a living no matter how great or small. You know, like, that's the one thing that I will teach my kids is if this is what you want and you can feed yourself and live in a place that's not your car or somebody else's couch, go right ahead, you know?
And I don't think that this guy's losing sleep about it. I think that he's a happy guy. I mean, just judging by the amount of happy face emoticons he's sent in our correspondence, I think this guy's happy as fuck. So.
Right, exactly. He might have walked away from a payday. Maybe, like I said, maybe he got something on the back end. Maybe he didn't. But it seems like he's had a pretty successful, I mean, 30-plus years of being successful wherever he found success, you know? Right. And he gets to do what he wants, and he gets to, you know, spend a Sunday cleaning shit off of his dog. you know, and staying up a little bit later on a Monday because he feels obligated to these dickheads that
right.
that approached him on the internet. You know what I mean? How great to be able to just do that. You know, like, oh, I'm going to stay up late because these fucking guys I've never heard of want to talk to me.
About my thing.
About my thing that I do.
My thing.
You know?
Not a thing I'm a part of. My thing.
Yeah, yeah, not yeah, right. Not a thing that I'm part of, not a thing that I'm associated with, but this thing that I made and am making and would like to, you know, talk about. I mean, how fucking great would that be to have that be your life? Like, I get up in the morning and I can be as ambitious as I want to be, but as ambitious as I am is completely... You know, it has everything to do with my success because my success is my own. It's not, I'm not being successful for somebody else. It's, you know, if you didn't have to get up in the morning and go be successful for somebody else, don't you think you'd be so much more motivated to be successful? You know, like half the time, yeah. There's a good majority of the day where I just kind of stare off into space thinking, man, shouldn't I be doing something productive right now? You know?
I don't know. I felt that was important to add.
I think it is important, and I think that message right there is a really solid message. Is find what you love to do and what you want to like project to the universe, and if you can make a way to monetize that, that should be exactly what you do for a job. So, don't go work for somebody else. Don't bow down to pressure. Don't be a part of something that you don't want to be a part of just for the paycheck. If you can make yourself a living, a comfortable living, like a happy living where you can eat and sleep and, you know, do a couple of the things that you enjoy, and all the only person you're responsible for is yourself or your family, that's exactly what you should do.
Especially if, like, you know, it'll lead to feeling good about yourself.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. Where you don't spend every day being like, man, I should be doing something for myself instead of doing, you know, next to nothing for these other people and just collecting a paycheck.
Right. 1 hour ago, Beardy and the Beast, we warned this might happen. Oldest is at grandma's. No way youngest is gonna be in bed by showtime. Podcast only this week. No live show.
Why fucking bother?
So, well, that's okay. I mean, hey, shit happens.
Why don't you shoot old Mike a quick little message and let him know?
Then put it on Twitter.
Why don't you throw Mike a quick little message?
Now, let's go on the air. What episode number are we at? Let's do the next one.
We're up there. This is at least number 6.
Let's just start calling people in our Skype list. We'll just do a whole nother show.
Just start calling people?
Yep. Just be like, hey, we're doing a show. How you doing?
We understand it's 11 o'clock at night where you're at, but...
I saw a Scrub sign on. Call Scrub.
Yep. We're going to say, this is an impromptu episode, bonus episode for this week. All callers. All callers. All callers. There you go.
Six is over. Let's start 207. Hello and welcome to the wheelbarrow full of dicks.
He's Mike. With him, as always,
I am Mike. Joined, of course, by my co-host Napier and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse,
the albino alligator.
The albino alligator, Travis Hulse. Phone number to contact show, 636-487-HAND.
So, Mike, I've been playing this video game where you're European and you kill a bunch of brown folk.
That game, by the way, that can't be fun. Is that like The Sims, but with, like, a different setting?
No, it's like Civilization 5 or Civ 4. It's kind of like those games.
If it's not like Dynasty Warriors, I don't want to play it. Do I get to, like, savagely kill people up close?
No, you don't actually see any of that. It's like your yellow square takes over their, like, blue square, and, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, well, now you have two yellow squares.
Well, why am I not playing Atari, then?
Well, because the blue square in Atari isn't named Zimbabwe and has lions in their name Cecil, which obviously talk to broads on the internet.
Can I summon somebody named Cleo or something that can talk to him after he's slaughtered?
No, but you can drink a Coke that has Cleo written on it and absorb their soul.
I'm listening.
You drink Cleo.
No, Cleo... I heard that part. I'm listening to different things.
Okay. We're going to talk about Mike.
Nope. I like this game. I want to hear more things that you're making up about it.
What you do is you drink the Cleo soul.
Mm-hmm. Now I have her powers.
If you throw the can away, you lose the soul.
Oh, so you have to hold the cans all the time?
Well, you have to collect them in like a bin or something.
And so if I'm fighting all of these people and I'm walking around the battlefield, aren't they going to hear me coming when they hear my giant hippie bag full of cans that I've absorbed?
Of course.
Giant hippie bag full of cans.
And that's going to freak them the fuck out. They hear clank. Clank.
Oh, because clank. I've built a reputation for myself and they know I'm coming.
Exactly. They'll be like, oh, fuck. It's Travis the Witch Doctor. And he's going to...
The albino alligator.
The albino alligator. What steals and rob men of peeners.
That's my mama.
Guys,
that's a good 207, guys.
Well, yeah, we did it, guys. Good one.
You should play the drunk promo again. Holy shit, I'm sweating for some reason.
Because you're so excited that we're doing two episodes in a night.
It's gotta be. Let's try calling Beardy and the Beast now that we're done with our 207.
Yeah, try calling him again.
All right, then.
Well, that was fun.
I want all of you out there in podcast land to know that we're all friends.
Yeah, good times.
I was playing a part before. I didn't feel good. Then I felt good halfway through.
Do you think that tonight's show was kind of mean-spirited?
Towards the end, a little bit.
You think it got a little... I think that we need drunk to even us out.
I think when you're not feeling happy, you find a lightning rod to attach your anger to and then start shitting on it.
Mike.
I just want everything to go good, guys.
Well, it went fine.
Yeah, everything. It was a pretty decent time. I mean, it wasn't a great time.
I think it switched things up a little bit, you know? Yeah. We're usually pretty upbeat.
Yeah, today was a really shit episode.
Do you think that
it's good to get shit episodes in there?
Do you think that the lady who talks to the lion can make me happier?
Just talking to a lion make you happy?
Is she attractive? Is she a good looking lady?
I have a feeling that if I participate in that interview, I'm just going to ask underhanded questions to like defame her, you know, her gift or her ability.
I mean,
that's what I thought she would look like.
Yeah, she looks exactly like I thought she would look like. She looks kind of, I mean, she's like an older gal.
Like a cat lady.
But, I mean, she's got like long blonde hair. I mean, she's not like super old. But she's old enough, and she kind of looks like kind of a hippie broad.
Not married, no kids, and probably 34 felines that she named each one of them and their kids.
Yeah, I mean, she looks like she was probably bangable at some point.
Well, I wanted to bring up that goddamn now. Hitchhiking robot. Fuck.
You want to talk about the hitchhiking robot?
Nah, that's all right. I got to take a piss. I did want to talk about him, but now I don't.
You want to save that for next week? Or will it not be news next week?
It'll probably be old news. But, you know, I'll bring it up.
Yeah, when's that ever stopped us?
Yeah.
There's a hitchhiking robot that, somebody beat up or something.
Yeah, they destroyed it in America. It went through like 3 or 4 different countries. As soon as it got through America, it lasted 2 weeks and died.
Oh, sounds like he wasn't from around here.
Nope. Maybe he should have gone back. It wasn't in Philadelphia.
So, what happens? Like, so the robot is like on like a street corner
Yeah, people pick it up and it says things like, I want to see the New York streetlights, or I want to see this, or I'm in Hitchbot, the robot, and it's got a GPS on it so you can track its progress. And it's, like I said, it's made it through a bunch of different countries, and as soon as it came into America, 2 weeks later...
So, like, somebody took it on a plane or something?
Yeah. They take it in planes, you take it in your car, you
How long has
places.
It been around?
Let me see. I gotta look here. It was, Man, made it across Canada. Made it across... Where else did it say? I made it across the... Shit. What other countries? The Netherlands? It's had to have been around for a while if it made it across all those other countries.
Yeah.
It started off in Boston, and then made it to Philadelphia, and some dude decapitated it. He curb stomped it to death.
In Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia, yeah.
See, you fuck up everything.
Well, maybe the dude was an alien and he was protecting us.
So,
from
I mean,
the
like,
aliens.
Can they make it? Can they make it say stuff? Like,
it had a app in it. It was called the Chatbot app or something. It was equipped with Chatbot. So, I would assume that is a some sort of like robot computer app thing that talks to people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I guess
maybe they should have installed that app that, you know, keeps you from going towards the ghettos when you're driving in a place that you ain't familiar with.
Or maybe that app that when somebody tries to kick your robot head off, it electrocutes that person.
Like when the guy's dropping him off in Philadelphia, the robot can go, I don't know about this one, buddy. Let's
not here, please.
Let's go down like 5 more streets, if you don't mind. Get 5 more streets. I don't know about this one either. Let's pack it up, pack it up. Don't roll down the windows!
Can you just take me into Ohio? We're really close.
I really don't want to be in Philadelphia now that I'm here.
Good times, guys. We'll do it again next week.
Maybe. That's my mama. That's two.